Hello and welcome to our service this Wednesday evening. Glad to see everybody here. We're just going to get ready and do a congregational hymn here. Brother Dave is filling in for Sean over at Awana, so he'll be over here in just a few minutes after he gets done there. But what we'll do is, if you all would stand, we'll just do a quick congregational hymn.
200.
Page 200 in the red books. Again, it's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and if you're visiting with us tonight, or we hope that you just join right in with us as we try our best to worship and honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A lot's going on in our nation at this time, a lot of political stuff going on, but we can rest assured that it is our God that is truly in control, and no matter what goes on outside in this world, He's there with His hand on top of everything, so we don't have to worry about anything. I'm going to open it up for prayer requests tonight. If anybody has a special prayer request, they can make it known now. That's good. Good to hear that. That's Christina, right? Is that her name? Christina, that's Shane's wife, being 100% free of cancer, and that's a blessing, because it wasn't long ago they basically had told her months or so, and so to go from there, that's truly the work of the Lord there. Anybody else tonight? Let's remember that Sister Brenda's sister is in the surgery right now. I've been in there for about 6 hours, so let's continue to pray for her. Anybody else? Let's remember Sister Betty's sister. And let's pray. There's a lot of COVID going around the county, and a lot of other people just sick with other things. So let's just pray for one another while we're here tonight. Anybody else? Yeah, let's remember Tim and also Sister Jackie and Brother Billy. Anybody else? All right, if there not be any other, we'll just go to the Lord in prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you again for this chance for us to come together to, in our way, Lord, try to honor and serve you tonight. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that what we do here tonight, Lord, will be pleasing to you. And dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we in a time in our life where the things are very uncertain. There's lots of things that are going on in this world, Heavenly Father, but what we know for sure is that you're in control, Heavenly Father, and Lord, that we can look to you for guidance and wisdom and everything that pertains to our lives. And Lord, we just pray that each and every one of us will look to you to guide us. Now, Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you remember these many requests here made tonight, and dear Lord, that your healing hands would be upon those that need healing, and those your hands, your comforting hands upon those that need comforting, and Lord, just your hands upon those that might be just struggling in life. And Lord, we also just want to remember, Lord, those that are not saved. And Heavenly Father, we pray that a burden will come upon them, Lord, and that they'll realize their loss, Lord, and they'll come to you before it's too late. Now, Lord, we ask that you bless this service, bless Brother Dave as he comes to prepare the message for us. And Lord, I ask that each and every one of us have our heart and mind ready to receive the message. Now, Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. All right, turn the service over to Brother Dave.
Sean had to work a little bit later tonight, so I went over there and pitch hit for him in Awana's. And you know, they've got, you know, they're little, right? So I mean, you got to dig deep, you know. And it's always a little noisy to start off with because the little ones are leaving, and then you got just the older ones, and you know, the attention span there is like not much longer than mine. You know, I see a squirrel and it's all over. So we got over there and started talking. I told him tonight about, you know, and you know, they're just little, but what's ahead of them? There's going to be a time when they get hurt, when life lets them down and the world lets them down. I just told him about Jesus when he went to the cross. He didn't give up. When people were mean to him, he didn't give up. And I, you know what? Halfway through it, one of the most precious things in the world, of course, just 10 minutes, right? You got to light yourself on fire and burn for 10 minutes strong. And that's about all they can take. You know, halfway through it, I looked down. And those little kids were locked on a story about Jesus. And that was precious. I enjoyed doing that tonight. I wish it was going to be that exciting in here, because we're going to go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians. Good to have Brother Randy. You've heard me mention this a little bit. I did it in my Sunday school class, and mentioned in church the other day. You know, we talk a lot about here about every Christian needs to find something to do. And a lot of people think, when especially if I say that, they think, well, you know, I can't go to Africa, or you know, I can't preach, or I don't feel called to teach a Sunday school class. You know, sometimes it's about, like the little boy in the lunch. He served God that day, right? Well, it wasn't even in a church service. It was in an outdoor meeting. He just happened to be faithful where he was at, and at that moment, God used him. You know, for sure, sitting is not serving. You got to do more than sit, right? But then don't be afraid of what that looks like. You know, if you really have a desire to say, I want to do something for God, and the reason being, it says, lay up your treasures in heaven where moth, and we've gone through all of that 100 times. The idea is, there is, you know, what you do for God is going to be tested. The wood, hay, and stubble gets burned up, and what's left, that's what matters. Well, what does that look like? Well, one guy, just one guy, had an idea. And now you can't drive. Didn't anybody drive around Scott County today and not see his sign? I mean, they follow you from one end of the county to the next. Well, how did one sign turn to 60? Or that's your goal, right? And I mean, how does that do that? You know, I mean, he's not pastoring a church. He's not a missionary to Africa. He was just one guy that had an idea. So what I'm saying is, your idea might not look like his. But I promise you, if you go to God and say, God, I want to do something for you, give me a way. Give me a way. If you started a prayer list for the people in this church and you took that prayer list before God every single day, that matters. It could be something it could be picking up the phone and calling the people in a church to say, hey, today, I'm just calling to see if I can get a prayer request from you. Write that. I mean, it could be something just that simple. It comes from a heart that says, I want to do something. If you go to God with that heart, I promise you, he'll fill that in. And it's cool to see those signs, you know, and they keep going up all over the place. Okay, take your Bibles and go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. And I had this marked and then I ran over there really fast. Let's see. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So we started this before COVID, and then we got into COVID. We switched to the book of Judges, and we successfully went through that. So we're just going to go ahead and pick up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Remember, Paul is writing this letter to the church. And one thing you got to understand about Paul, we look at him as a missionary, but remember, that word missionary, it's not a Bible word, okay? Paul, for all practical senses, was a pastor. That's what he did. The blueprint for that looked a little different. You know, something that Paul did back then that we don't do so much today is that Paul knew where these church plants were. And as these church plants had a problem, Paul would go through different people that he worked with and he would send them to that church. Sometimes that church had a pastor and he still sent Timothy along to help. Sometimes that had a pastor and he still sent somebody else along to help. But he would look at these churches, he would stay in touch with them, and when they were going through a problem, he would help them. That's what this letter is. This letter is to the church at Corinth. This letter was addressing the problems that arise in church and how we should deal with it. It addresses a church family in these letters that he's writing these churches. So we can learn a lot about church from these letters to these churches. A lot of the problems they had oftentimes, you know, they're the same problems we have in church today. You know, understand something about church in a lot of the government things that we add to the church we don't see in the Bible. For instance, you know, we talk about, not too long ago, we took the book that's here, records who joins and when you got saved. Here's what I promise you will not happen in heaven. When you're in heaven and God opens his book, he's not going to ask Brother Allen to come up with a book from Helenwood Baptist Church. And when he looks down in his book, he's not going to say, well, you know what? I can't find you in my book. Hey, Brother Allen, can you look in your book and see if it's in that book? God's not checking his book with Brother Allen's book. That ain't happening. As far as eternity goes, your name in that book gets you nowheres. Okay? As far as eternity goes, it gets you nowheres. All right? That's not where the security and comfort comes from, is the fact that your name is on a church roll somewhere down here. Okay. Now, it's nice to have that family. It's nice to have that community. But absolutely, should you not trust that? You should trust the fact that it's written in heaven, not down here. Okay. Because in Africa, here's what they do. It goes a step further. When they're buried with their church membership, because in their mind that means something. It's not like you're going to grab it on your way out and take it with you. You know. So we can learn a lot. It deals with a lot of those things, and it really tells us the importance about what church is. Church is a family, okay? And I mentioned this before, waving to somebody on the other side of the room once a week doesn't constitute fellowship. How in the world are you going to know somebody's burdens? Because it does say this, bear ye one another's burdens if you don't know what they are. And we all know that it's unlikely that you're just going to get up here and spout them off, right? I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, nobody's just going to get up here and say, okay, here's my burdens today. I mean, we have a hard enough time with testimonies, let alone just getting up here and bearing your heart. So the only other way that you could practically do that is when you get to know one another to the point where you feel like you've got a relationship with somebody, a brother, that I could go to Matt and say, hey, Matt, man, I really need you to pray for me. You guys know I have a son that doesn't live right. Pray for him every day. It's a burden that weighs heavy on me. And you know, it's just nice to know that somebody else cares. Right? I mean, I'm going to bear it because I have to. It's just nice somebody else cares. It's also nice to know that I know I'm not the only one in this room that has somebody they're praying for. So why walk alone? Or why have to deal? Well, that's what all this is for. Is it just helps us to understand what church is, okay? So we're going to pick it up in chapter 10 and just dig in here. We'll see how far we can get. Moreover, brethren, I don't know if I prayed or not. If I did, we're just going to pray again. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you'd help us tonight. Thank you, Father, for the church and giving it to us. Lord, it's something, Lord, that you knew that we would need in your absence. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit that bears witness in our heart every time your word is open. Thank you, Father, for that. And Lord, I pray you'd be with us tonight and help us learn a little bit as Paul poured his heart out to this church. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. You know, when it's, we all know that they came through on dry ground. We also know that God led them, go through in verse 2, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, this is something very interesting. It is talking about that, you know, the children of Israel, they knew the truth. They had examples. They knew what they were supposed to do. They had God leading them. God provided for them. God protected them. They were supposed to be obedient to God, and they were supposed to follow after him. And God did what he was supposed to do, and they were to do what they were supposed to do. I want you to look at verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, many times in the Old Testament, you'll hear, and there are definite dispensations in the Bible. We don't see miracles performed like we see it in Jesus' day. We don't see things happen like they did with the children of Israel and Moses grabbing a rod and parting the Red Sea. Okay? Because we're in a different, they were waiting for Christ. He's already been here. So of course things are going to be different, correct? But here's something very fascinating to me. Many times, over and over again, I hear people say there's no way in the world that they could know about Jesus and they could know about the cross and all of those things. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to have to answer this. How did that get in there? Because look what he said. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that was the keeping of the law. It says, and that rock was Christ. Now that to me is very comforting. I can't get into all the schematics, okay? I mean, the Bible's a big book, right? I mean, there's no way a human being is going to get that right all the time. But I just find it very interesting there when he's talking about the people in the Old Testament and what they followed. You know what it said? And that rock was who? Christ. So even back then, he's tying them with Jesus. Even back then, he's tying them with the Messiah that would one day come. And I just find that very, very, very interesting to me, because when we get to heaven, whether it was, do you believe this? Do you believe when you get to heaven, whether you're Adam or you're the last man standing, that your sins are paid for and only paid for by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, no matter what time frame you live in? Amen. Correct? Now, how all of that is accomplished, the Bible's bigger than me. I'm just showing you, ever doubt that, look right there. He reaches clear back to an Old Testament when they were clearly under the law. When they were clear, I mean, they got killed for not obeying the Sabbath. If you ever think that that had anything to do with their salvation, just understand right there, he just cleared it up. Right? Says they followed that, and who was that? It was Jesus Christ. He just put the piece together. I don't have to be back there to know about how all of that worked. I can just tell you what he tucked away right here. The Apostle Paul shared with us right here. Even back then, it was Christ. Now, you'll have to go back and ask them how I didn't put it there. All I'm saying is when I read that, I thought, that's so exciting. Do you believe that God could not enter to weave Jesus throughout this book? Now, did they know, everybody said, well, the gospel that, you know, that the disciples taught before Jesus died was the gospel. I can't get in all that. All I can do is tell you this. This is beautiful. But with many, it said, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they all drank the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. All right, good enough for me. Let's move on. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. You know, we can look back at them. We can look back at all of the things they had right in front of them, and they still struggle. Guys, listen, do you understand that we are on the verge of making church? Church was already vulnerable. Now it's even more vulnerable. But if they failed, Chris, and they had a burning pillar right in front of them, you walked outside and here was a tower going up the sky and it was on fire. So you knew, I mean, there was no way in your mind you could just put that aside and say, how do you get used to that, Matt? How do you get used to a tower going all the way up the sky that's on fire? How do you get used to every morning you wake up and now it's a pillar of clouds and you're going about your daily duty and it's following you? With all of that God in their face, they still struggled. So what makes us think that we can all of a sudden just put God on a burner, come when we want to come, pay attention till we want attention, and we're going to have any better outcome than they did when it was right in front of them? Right? I mean, what makes us think? I mean, you would think that would be a pretty good reason not to mess up when you got God on fire right in front of you. You would think that'd be a pretty good reason to get up every morning and feel like you could tackle the world. It's right in front of you. Now we come into this, you know, and now, you know, it's, you know, some people get to the mind that, you know, church is not necessarily as important as it used to be. The reason why it is because you and I are still a sinner. And we need that. We're not, I mean, because your flesh will fail you. We need each other. We need this book. We need to be busy. We need to be occupying our time with things that matter because we are vulnerable people. And that's what he's pointing out to them. Even some of them, even in that scenario, they still messed up. Because watch this. Watch what it says. Okay? You see, that they were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. All right, we look at them, they lusted after evil. Do you know that they complained and they wanted to go back to Egypt? You talk about backsliding. I mean, they're backsliding with God on fire in front of them. All right, what are you going to do? Blame it on the message? No, they own that. Right? I mean, because the message was God. Okay? So it goes on to say this in verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it was written. Now, immediately when you read that as a Christian, you think, okay, this doesn't involve me. I'm not an idolater. But idol worship comes in many ways. God knew what he was doing here. Why in the world would he put this in here and say, hey, Dave, just close your ears on this one. It's not relevant to you because you don't. Oh, if there's ever a time of idol worship, we worship idols today. Okay? They just come in different forms. It's the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Do you know why making a God that you make yourself and then call him God, do you know why that's appealing to people? It's because then you control your God. That's no different than getting involved in the things of this world that take our time and our energy, things that we love, things that we put so much effort into with zero bearing on eternity. It's, no, and you know what? It comes in and it overtakes our life, and we're more devoted to it than we are to our faith in Christ. That would be an idol. Okay, so he points out here it says, neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat, to drink, and to rose and play. Do you know there's more to life than just eating, drinking, and playing? Do you know, over and over and over again, that got them in trouble. Remember what Sodom and Gomorrah, if you read in the Bible, Sodom and Gomorrah's sin was not homosexuality. That led to that. It said the overabundance in idleness. Okay, that caused them to then go down those roads. So he's talking about here, he's saying that they sat down to eat and to drink and to rose and play. Why? Because, I mean, there's God. He's going to provide for them. He got manna from heaven. You know, well, what do I have to do? Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them. So he's writing this church. He's saying, listen, church, fornication shouldn't be in the church. Now, look, it is. And that's just the fact. I mean, I doubt it. There is a single church in Scott County that hasn't had fornication in their church. That's just a reality. You know, I wish that as Christians we never messed up, but we do. Okay? All right? But because of that, we need to then be more careful with understanding that it can happen to us. So not in a way that's judgmental or just simply looking. You know what? Do you know God can come in and even though there was a fornication in a marriage, he can still heal that? Do you know it's not a death sentence? You know, and God is still gracious and kind and forgiving, right? But afterwards, we should still do what we can to learn from that and not let it happen to somebody else. So it doesn't spread in the church and end up hurting somebody else and end up hurting somebody else and end up hurting somebody else. So he's saying, hey, be careful. Now today, the things that do that are going to be, you know, one of the biggest things that end up messing a marriage up today is the internet and the freedom to talk to people and have relationship with people that somebody else don't know about. So if Paul was talking about it today, he would put that kind of stuff in there and he'd say, hey, know this, that it happens. And be vigilant about it. Make sure that it doesn't happen to you. Now, here's you're going to read this in a minute. Do not think it cannot happen to you. Over and over in the Bible, it tells us never, ever, ever to be proud in the fact that we think we can't do wrong. And I didn't say that. God said that. Because I am under the same curse Randy's under. Okay? So, yes, it can happen. If that's the reason why we got to stay close. You know, if we're staying close to each other, you might be able to catch a brother before he ends up going off a cliff. Let me I tell you, that takes being able to open your heart and saying, hey, Chris, man. Whew, had a close week this week. And this lady keeps texting me. And Chris saying, hey, brother. Man, let's pray. You need me, you holler at me. Well, to do that in church today? But that's not what it talks about in the Bible. I mean, that means I'm to rally around you and you're rallying around me and we watch each other's back and we care for one another. Why? Because we don't want this to happen. I care about you. I don't want you to hurt like that. Okay, so it goes on to say this. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed. Now they tempt Christ, murmuring and complaining. And I tell you what, it was back then. Moses had to deal with it. You have to deal with it in church today. It is not, I mean, I've been, I know I look younger, but I'm just about hit 32 years in this. And I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. You know how difficult it is? I mean, in Slippery Rock, there were 500. It is impossible to make 500 people happy every day. I mean, try that with your own home and see how successful you're at it day in and day out. Then you try 500 or 150 or even 100. It's difficult to do that. Right? Because some of the things I can go on and on and on and on and list the amount of murmuring and complaining from, I've even had it from color of carpet to, oh, so one of them, it was the pews. Somebody bought the pews, right? Well, then the preacher got up when somebody in the church bought the pews. Then the preacher got up in church and actually stepped on the pews. Now, I've never stepped on a pew because I figure I got enough problems with people not like, I'm not going to go invite it. Not on purpose, you know? So I've never pew walked, okay? So this, and plus I'd probably kill myself, you know? I mean, I've seen them do it on top of the pew, and that takes some talent. These shoes are slick. So he got up and he walks on the pew. Well, afterwards, they went up to him and they said, we think that's disrespectful that you walked on the pew. Well, they bought the pews. On the next Sunday, the pastor got up on the pews and said, these pews don't belong to any human being. They belong to God. I'm telling you what, they fired him when he went on vacation the next week. And that's when I came in. I'm just saying, guys, listen, we have to be kind and patient with each other. All right? I know that I cannot always make you happy. And if that's what you're looking for, I promise you, you will be disappointed. But do you know something? I'm going to let you in on a secret. You're not always going to make me happy either. That's not, pastors do not leave every Sunday 100% happy with everybody that comes. So you know how we get along with not killing each other? Grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, kindness. That's what we do. I'm patient with you because I need you to be patient with me. I'm kind to you because I desperately need you to be kind with me. Well, one of the things that was toxic to the children of Israel was constantly complaining. I don't like this. I don't like that. You know, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like you spend too much time on the mountain. I mean, it was just on and on and on and on, and it caused problems to the point where he's addressing, well, he's not just mentioning this because he wants to burn paper. That church is having problems with murmuring. So he's mentioning this to that church. And he's going all the way back to the Old Testament as an example. Hey, here's what happened to them when they murmured. The ground swallowed them up. Okay? It said this, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So look, they weren't doing drugs in the bathroom. They were murmuring. Right? Sometimes we think of, well, you know, as long as you're not, you know, doing the Big Ten. God called this constant murmuring a big problem. It wasn't a light problem. He destroyed people because of it. Because the reason why it says in the New Testament is to not sow discord among the brethren, because it's toxic. If I go to Chris and I say, hey, Greg, and then I say, did this, at that moment, he has to make up his mind, whose side is he on? Immediately. So if I come to him and I say something that I'm not happy, and I tell him that without telling the person who supposedly made me unhappy, I am now sowing a seed to cause him to be unhappy. And then he tells the next person, and that seed grows, and that seed grows, and that seed grows. And that's the reason why when he's writing this, he's saying to this church, listen, don't do what they did. They murmured and they were destroyed. Don't murmur. Don't cause discord among the brethren. Don't go over there and trying to get somebody else on your side as you don't like Moses. Because that's what they say. Because how? I mean, who wants to go to church knowing somebody talks about you? No thanks. Right? Do you know, I mean, it's sad, but in churches there are people that won't talk to somebody else in church. And I'm telling you right now, that's not right. You can do it, but it's not right. And you can't get, and then you hear somebody had an affair, you can't be overly hard on them when you're doing something you know you're not supposed to. Right? I mean, seriously, if you cannot talk to somebody else in that church that you go to, when Jesus said, if you have aught against your brother, you go to him, Do you know, simply just not dealing with it isn't taking care of the situation. The only way you can do it is go to that one and let it go, man. Let it go. Something they did for you. You know, half the times they don't even know they did it. But then we get offended and we hold on to it. And then we treat that person wrong. They don't even know why they did it. And then you sit there and let that fester. Well, here it said, don't do that, okay? Now, verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples. So we can look at them and not do what they did. And they are written with our admonition upon whom the ends of the whole world are come. Look at verse 12. Good verse to look at. This is to a church. This is not to lost people. This is to a church. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So before we can get over judgmental about somebody else, about, whoa, Paul told this group of people, you need to be careful. Before you think that you can't mess up, and you're never, if you don't give grace, you won't get grace. Okay? You won't get it. I tell you, there was a pastor down in Pennsylvania. Church was an hour from me, and some of those folks came to Slippery Rock. One of the men came to the pastor and said, my son is having problems with the internet. Okay? Personally, if you're a Christian and you go to church and you're, I believe that you as a dad ought to help your son. The pastor doesn't have a magic button. Wish we did, but we don't. So he goes to the pastor and he tells the pastor that his son is struggling. Well, the pastor gets up and calls the young man up to the front of the church and churches him and tells him, hey, he's on discipline. Don't let your kids hang around him. I mean, a big deal, right? Oof. First problem is he should have taken the... If you're a dad and you're saved and you've been in... You ought to know enough about the Bible to help somebody else, or there's a bigger problem. Okay? All right? So he took him to the church. 2 weeks later, he had to step down because what he did was a lot worse. Now, afterwards, people in that church were so angry at this pastor. I mean, every time you go past the bar, they stopped and said, well, let's check and see if he's there. They were just digging him in the dirt. And I told them, that's not healthy. Here's the deal. He didn't give grace, so he didn't get it. Now, if I was in charge of his PR, here's what I'd told him to do. Oh, and he blamed it on, he said he got involved in drinking because he was trying to quench the Holy Spirit because he had other problems. I'm thinking, you're digging a bigger hole. I could have helped him. Just get up there and say, listen, I'm going to stand back by that door, and if you feel the need to punch me in the face, go ahead, I'm sorry. You know what that would have done immediately? There had been tears in every room. And nobody would have done that. Because that's what grace does. Right? How are we going to help each other? How are we going to deal with our problems, which we have them, if we don't give grace and love to each other? And patience and kindness. And if you really can't talk to somebody and you can't figure out how to do it, then you're just bringing that into the church service, and we wonder why sometimes you got to dig hard to feel the Holy Spirit. But boy, what if you just let that go? Right? I mean, if you can't talk to somebody else in church, you probably should get that taken care of. Okay, so let's move on past that. Praise the Lord. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Again, that reminds us, your battles are my battles, my battles are your battles. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape it. And you've heard me preach on this verse before. So I'm just understand, every time you fail, you don't have to, that God always provides a way. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, aren't you glad, man? He just skinned them. And then he stops and he says, dearly beloved, because he loves them. Goes on to say this, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. So now he's going to get into idolatry because it was a problem. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. this cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Wherefore, we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? What are you saying? He's getting ready to deal with this problem, and he's saying, listen, when we come and we partake of the Lord's Supper and we're joining him in his death and in his burial and his resurrection, we're becoming one with him. We need to remember that. We need to remember that as we go out and we live our lives, that we are part of something very special. And then he talks about taking that, and he's dealing with idols. He says this in verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Just like it's very, very, very special to have the Lord's Supper when you have paganism and their rituals, it's also very, very special to them. It means something to them, just like this means something for us. When we then go in turn, be a part of what means something to them, then we are going to be guilty by association because we're in an event that means something to them. Okay, now I'm going to pause for a second. I don't drink. I told you that. I believe it is dead wrong from the Bible, and I can support that. But let's say, for instance, that you wanted to go to a bar. Now, just for the simple fact that drinking's wrong, okay? The atmosphere in a bar, is it a godly atmosphere? Because now you've got lost people drinking, okay? I mean, maybe you can sit there and you can eat a sandwich in a bar and not drink, and okay, but you're in an atmosphere where people that are in that atmosphere, they are worshiping their God. They didn't go, try to go preach to somebody in a bar. They don't want to hear it in a bar. They go there to get away from that. That's their church. That's their altar. That's their sacrifice. You try to go in there and then share them the gospel, they're not going to want that. Okay? And then don't be surprised. The hymns that they sing in their church, they're not going to be something you want to hear. They're not interested in talking about Jesus in there. They're not interested in hearing about eternity there. And therefore, the atmosphere that's in there isn't going to be an atmosphere that is conducive for a Christian. And if you go in that atmosphere and you participate in that atmosphere because it means something to them, it can give the world the idea that you also are a part of that. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about that, listen, I got enough, but I don't need to go. Guys, I know I'm not perfect. You can find holes in me all you want, but I can tell you, thank God today. Thank God I still have conviction that when I get around that stuff, I feel, if I walked into a full-blown bar today, there'd be alarms going off. And even if Brother Randy said, come on, man, I'll go in with you. What's the big deal? We just won't drink. The language that you'd hear in a bar with people drunk, the jokes being told, the looking down on women and all of that, all of a sudden I'm going to realize I don't belong there. Why would I want to go? I don't belong there. And by doing that and saying I can go and I can have a good time, that'd be like me saying I'm going to go down to the Catholic church. I'm going to go down to the Catholic church tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and pray to Mary. We're going to go have a good. You'd be like, Dave, what are you doing? That's not where I belong. That's not where I belong either. Why? For the same thing, because now I'm partaking in what they're partaking in, and it means something to them. Do you don't believe that the world is idolatry? What does it say? And the God of this world. You worship this world, you're in idolatry because it has a God. So, no, I cannot go. I told you, I went down to Mardi Gras one time. We had churches come in, they'd come in and they would go down to Mardi Gras on the week. The weekend before Fat Tuesday, that's a really bad day. We would go down there, we'd take gospel tracts, and there would be beer cups. I would walk through beer cups up to here, going down, I'm telling you, it was the worst, going down this Bourbon Street, and you got all of these institutions over here, okay, the stuff on the walls and windows that you shouldn't look at. You got people so drunk, young ladies so drunk, they're taking their clothes on, and we're down there with gospel tracts, Matt. I'm thinking, what in the world is this? Now, I'm with a bunch of preachers who came to New Orleans and asked if they could stay at my church in the attempt that we're going to go down there and we're going to tell sinners about Christ. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is not someplace I need to be. I am not, I mean, thank God I made it out of there one time without looking, but I told him I can't guarantee the next one. I mean, that was no place for Dave Barnhouse. I didn't need a preacher to tell me that. You know, I didn't need, and then we'd have people come to New Orleans and they say, well, I want to go see Bourbon Street. And I'm like, uh-uh. I don't care if it's broad daylight, I ain't going back to that cesspool again. I mean, Bourbon, guess what? I'm going to have to go to heaven, have not walk down Bourbon Street ever again. Why? Because that's their God. Right? That's where they have fun. That's what they worship. I get in there and I participate in that, even if I'm not doing those things, just being there. That's what he's saying. He's saying, but if I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, I would not that ye should have fellowship with the devils. Now, we do know that we've read in there that you are allowed to eat meat offered to idols. That is if not during a ceremony, and he's going to clear that up. If you're unaware at that time, that's what it is, and they're not thinking you're participating in the actual fellowship, then you're okay to do that as long as it's not causing your brother to. But to go and say, hey, you're having a pagan worship today, I'm going to come along with you, and I'm just going to hang out for the buffet afterwards, and I go through the whole ritual with them, and then I'm not doing it. I'm just there for the food. He's saying, hey, you should not have fellowship with the devils. Well, we can apply that to a million things in the world today. You know, from things that do you know that the world's going to watch things that you and I probably shouldn't watch? They're going to go to events, things that you and I probably shouldn't go to. All right? There's going to be things they're comfortable at that I shouldn't be comfortable at. Okay? So it goes on to say this. Verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. Wow. Okay. Well, now take this to you. You can't listen. Do you believe there's do you believe in Christian music? Is there something called Christian music? Yes or no? If you believe in Christian music, raise your hand. Okay. Is there something called Christian music out there? Okay. What's Christian music? What constitutes Christian music? All right, something that braids Christ, okay? What constitutes worldly music? Anything that lifts up the world. So if it's singing about having an affair, which category are you putting that in? If it's singing about drinking, which category are you putting that in? If it's singing about bringing your Bible to church, this blessed old book, you know, that I hold in my hand, where are we putting that one? We're putting that in the category of Christian music. If it's singing about things that the world likes and the world worships, we're going to have to call that the world's music. We just read that you cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of the devil at the same time. You can apply that to the world we live in. Now, that is, you know, really honestly, I took the chicken way out. I preached this on Wednesday night. You guys are the die-hard crowd, right? The average church, you fling this one out on Sunday morning, you're gonna have some murmuring and some complaining, right? And look, guys, I need the Word of God to say, Dave, watch what you're doing. I need that, okay? Because it's easy to get off track, okay? Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things, well, that provoke the Lord to jealousy. You know what that is? Loving anything more than you love him. Okay? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient to me. Are you gonna go to hell because you have a beer? Mm-mm. Are you going to go to hell if you listen to a song that's not Christian? Mm-mm. You're not going to go to hell for those things. We live under grace. But Romans says, should you continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Just because I can doesn't mean I should. Just because I cannot lose my salvation, the nature of that should tell me I shouldn't want to try. You know? I mean, we got to be a little, not everything's, yes, I can do a lot of the rules that I make. There's no rule. I would not get in a car and ride with somebody that is my age or younger by myself. That is not a rule of this church. There's no rule in your constitution that says the pastor can't do it. I'm not going to do that simply because that it's not expedient for me to do that. Right? I mean, I can. Now, to say I have gone out by myself and ate lunch with somebody, then when I was, of course, there'll be a time when I can't do that anymore. But I've gone out and had lunch with somebody that's 85 years old. Okay? I'm old enough to be my grandmother. Figure that's pretty safe. Okay? But I'm going to be very careful in other categories. But that's not a rule. You don't have a rule. Okay? There's no rule in church about how many Sundays you can miss. You can miss them all. It just might not be expedient to do so. Right? You're not going to go to hell if you miss them. It just might not be the smartest thing to do. That's what he's saying. The word expedient means it just might not be the best thing to do. You can watch. You can go home and turn on anything you want to watch. God's still going to love you. God's still going to forgive you. But it might not be expedient. Okay? One more word. We got to get out of here. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. That's another thing. If it doesn't lift you up, don't do it. You wonder why. Listen, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in this pandemic thing that it's causing anxiety and loneliness of people all over the place. Okay? And it's creating, what we need is we need things that uplift us. Right? Listening to, you know, even the new, I decided that I can't babysit this election anymore. You know why, Matt? It's not edifying to me. I'm just going to get in a bad mood, take it out on everybody that's around me, and I can't do anything about it. Anyway, so when whoever wins, somebody call me and tell me. You know, I just said, I'm not babysitting that no more. Because right now, that's not edifying to me. I got other things I need to pay attention to. My opinion on that matters zero. I already voted. It's in their hands. Whatever it is, God already knows. It's not going to do me any good to keep doing that and get aggravated. Well, you can take that in all kinds of things if it doesn't edify you. It says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Now, look, he is writing this to the local church, and I'm done with this. He says, look at here. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Now, does that mean I'm supposed to seek your wealth and take it? No. It talks about an idea of treating people better than myself. And I should not always worry about me. I should be more and more worried about you. And Jesus, be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. If Randy's mad at me, but he shakes my hand, and he doesn't mean it, it don't count. In fact, that absolutely frustrates me. I'd rather you look right at me and say, I can't stand you, than to shake my hand and think, you know what, when he shakes my hand, you know what I'm thinking? Randy's okay. When he says, hey, have a good day, I actually believe he means have a good day, not go hope you get hit by a car under your breath. Yeah, I'm thinking, he actually means what he's saying. I can't get in people's head and figure out where they're at. I was taught to trust. Okay? I mean, you don't want a pastor that thinks the worst of everybody. That'd be a rough day. I gotta look at you and think the good of you. Right? Okay? I mean, I gotta take it on face value and what you say. And that all comes to being kind one to another. if you can't legitimately look at somebody and say, I care about you, and that you go to church with them, then you need to do something about that. Right? And you know what? If you don't ever want to tell them about it, that's not always necessary, as long as you can take care of it in your own heart. If you want to cancel it out and get over it, more power to you. You know, if you can and you need to go talk, do that. But just be kind. Man, guys, they... So, in here, an old preacher said, here's what we are. You want churches? One dirt bag telling another dirt bag where the bath is. Okay? And once we figure it out, we can go out there and tell them where the bath is. Once we've got it dialed in, then we can go out there and people watch you. Every day they're watching you. How you respond to your family, how you respond to problems, how you respond to people, they're watching you. And as we begin to live this out, that's why he said, you know, this whole entire book is all about stuff like this. To a church. Burned a whole book in the New Testament about this. To Christians, not to lost people. To Christians. Why? Because he desperately wants us to be able to function as one body, care about each other, keep the world out so we can go out there and make a difference out there. Brother Randy closes in prayer.